Well, I trust that you're having a great Sunday. I really hate that we're not able to meet in person, but this is just life living in the COVID world, right? And wisdom has really laid upon us for us not to meet in person, but we look forward to meeting with you once again, Lord willing, next week, August the 15th. I want to speak to you on this thought very briefly. Just want to share a quick word with you on this thought, how we are to live in trying times. We certainly are living in trying times. We're living in very difficult days, and we could think about 100 things that affect us, that burden us, that even worry us. But I want to try to help us navigate through that, through the Word of God, as we think about 1 Peter chapter number 1, where Peter is writing to a group of people. He's writing to Christians who were living in very much trying times. They were living in difficult times, times of great persecution. It was not easy to be a Christian. It was not easy in that day trying to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was just recently crucified upon a cross. Who is despised by the world. They were having a very difficult time living, but Peter just, he does not say, hey, just throw in the towel. Yes, it's hard. Just give up. No, he encourages them through many of these principles and promises that I want us to look at very quickly. And really, he gives them great hope, even in the midst of their heartache. Even in the midst of their difficulty, he gives them great hope. And that's really the first thing I want us to notice as we think about how to live in trying times is this, that we are to live hopefully. We are to live hopefully. And really in verse 3, the Christian's hope is described in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. And so we think about this living hope, this way we are to live in this life, in these trying days, we're to live hopefully. And when you think about it, at the very beginning, this living hope that we have as Christians is a hope that is grounded in the living Word of God. That's what Peter tells us in verse 23. He tells us that the Word of God lives, it endures, it abides forever. The grass fades away. The mountains will crumble, but the Word of God will endure. It will stand forever. When time ceases to be no more, the Word of God will abide. And the Word of God can no more cease to exist than God himself can cease to exist. And so our hope is grounded in what? In the living Word of God that is also grounded, as we have just read in verse 3, another reason we can live hopefully is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. We have a living hope. That is, because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Because Jesus lives, we have a hope. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible. You know, our inheritance in this life, those things that we cling to, one day the moths are going to eat it and rust is going to overtake it. But the inheritance that we have in heaven is incorruptible. Moth nor rust can ever touch our inheritance that has been secured because of what Jesus did. And because he lives, we too shall live. And so we have a living hope. Now, what is a living hope? Well, here's a very profound answer to that question. It is a hope that has life in it. And listen, it gives life to us. And because it has life, it grows and becomes greater and even more beautiful as time goes on. You see, the truth is this, the older I get, the less of this world I want. The older I get, and as I grow in Christ, the less I desire of this world. And that's the way it should be in this life. We have a living hope. We have an indestructible hope. You know, we think about hope in this life, and to be honest, time has a way of destroying most of our hopes. We think about a little child, little boy who is playing in Little League. He has great hopes that one day he is going to be playing for the St. Louis Cardinals or the Texas Rangers or whoever his favorite team is. He has great hopes that he's going to make the major leagues. But as time goes on, he realizes that that hope is fading away. And eventually that hope of him making the major leagues may be destroyed. Why? Time has a way of destroying our hopes. But the passing of time for the Christian, the passing of time for the believer, listen, it only makes our hope that much more glorious. Listen, heaven is much more sweeter to me now at 44 than it was for me at the age of 4 or even the age 14 or 24. The older we get and the more time passes, the sweeter heaven is to us. And so we are to live hopefully. We are also to live, as Peter tells us, how we are to live in trying times. We're to live holy. We're to live holy. Verse 15, this is what 1 Peter chapter 1 says, verse 15. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now, what does the word holy mean? Well, very simply, it means to be set apart. It means to be separate. It means to be different. And speaking of the holiness of God is speaking of the absolute moral purity of God's character that sets him apart from every other living creature, because every other living creature has fallen. Every living creature has sin and has seen the effects of sin, but our God, who is holy and is pure, is set apart from every other living creature. And it's not, God is not holy because he has to try to act holy and that he has a high standard because of the way he acts. No, God is holy. God is set apart because that is his very essence. That is his very nature. And that's who he is. But here's the amazing thing. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be set apart. He calls us to live differently. Now, how is that? How can we live holy as God is holy? Well, certainly we cannot be perfectly holy as the Lord is. But here's what we can do. We can strive to imitate our Father. And that is what Peter is saying. We are to be holy as he is holy. That is, we are to live differently than the way the world lives. This world, as John tells us, is in the lap of wickedness. Oh my, the evil that is in this world is too much for us to bear. And it's hard for us to see. But as Christians, we are to live differently than that. We are to live as the best of our ability, as we are led by the Spirit. We are to live holy, separated lives. We are not to live lives in sin, habitual sin. And when we do sin, we're quick to repent of it. We're to live differently than the way the world lives. The world wants us to live in a perpetual state of fear, but we're not to do that. God has commanded us to fear not. And in Timothy, Paul commands us, and he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And that's the way we are to live. Where the world may live in fear, we don't. We live by faith. And we make wise decisions when we need to make wise decisions. We don't live foolishly. There's a fine line between living a life of faith and then living a life of foolishness. We want to live a life of faith and not fear. But here's the thing. Peter says in verse 13 that it really starts in the way we think. It starts in our minds. In verse 13, he says we are to prepare our minds for action and be sober-minded. Oh, here again, Peter understands this principle that the way we think eventually will affect the way we live. Therefore, prepare your mind. Prepare your mind on how you are to live in this world, always being watchful, always being alert, being sober-minded. So we're to live holy in these trying times. We're to live a life that is pleasing unto our Lord. And then notice, lastly, we are to live humbly. We're to live humbly. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So it's very obvious here that Christians are commanded to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, under the powerful hand of God. Someone has said this, that humans often overestimate our ability and also underestimate our inability. And I tell you, that's so very true. Oftentimes, we overestimate our abilities. And we also underestimate our inability. But here's the thing. The humble person, the humble recognizes that they are not God. The humble person recognizes that God is the one who is all-powerful. He is the one who is all-knowing. He is God and we are not. And here is the thing. The humble person understands that God, being God, is able to handle all of our cares. And I love that. As a humble person, we can cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And that word cast is a word that means to throw. We are to throw our cares upon him. We are to quickly get rid of it. We're not to hold on to it. We're to get rid of it as something that is not wanted. We're to throw it away. We should not hold on to our cares. We should not hold on to our worries, but rather we should cast them off, cast them away, throw them away, and on to our Heavenly Father. Because, listen, we need to realize today that when we choose to hold on to our worries, when we choose to hold on to our cares, that is really an act of pride. It is an overestimation of our ability. When we choose to hold on to our cares and to our burdens, we are in essence saying, God, I got this. I don't need you. I can take it on my own. I can handle this all on my own. And so when we choose to hold on to those things, we are in essence being prideful. And we are not casting ourselves, or we're not really humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And again, this is a command. The command is what? To humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are to submit to His Lordship. We're to humble ourselves. The second command is that we're to throw off, we're to cast all of our care upon Him. That, again, it's not a suggestion, it is a command. We should not hold on to our cares. Instead, we should throw them on to our Father. Why? Because He has strong shoulders. I love what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "The government shall be upon His shoulders." Now think about that. If the weight of the world and the kingdoms of this world can sit upon His shoulder, He can handle our cares. He can handle our worries. He can handle our burdens. And notice that word cares. That word cares in the English Standard Version and the New American Standard Version is translated anxieties. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. The word cares is a word that means our worries, our difficulties, the needs of this world. We're to cast those things upon Him. And I love this part here, the last part. Why are we to do it? Well, it's a command, but here's the very intimate part. Because He cares for us. He cares for us. Think about that. The God who created this universe. I don't know if you were able to view the sunrise this morning, but it was absolutely beautiful. And I could not help that the same God who created the sun, who created this universe, is mindful of me. He not only loves us, yes, God loves everyone. He loves His children. He loves His creation. But this takes it to another level. It takes it to a more intimate level. He more than just loves us. He cares for us. He's concerned about us. That is our Heavenly Father. And that is something that we can hold on to while living in these very difficult days, to think about that what it means to live humbly is to be submitted to the Lordship of who God is. But also it is seen in our everyday life that we don't hold on to our burdens. We do not hold on to our worries. And here's what a lot of people do. They will cast all their care upon the Lord. And when they stop praying, they rise up and they bring those cares back to hold them, cling to them once again. That's not the way we're to live. We're to cast those cares, throw them onto our Lord, and leave them there. Well, I pray that this has been a help and a blessing to you on this Lord's Day. And we look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, August the 15th, next Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you.